I'm certainly thankful for the children. And to the adults that were up here in the choir earlier, I'm sorry, but the choir that just sang, they're my favorite choir. Appreciate Sister Laura, the way that she's been working with them, and hope that they'll just continue to sing for us. I want to ask for your prayers, as always. I feel very weak and in much need of the Lord's help, and so I ask for your prayers. And I want to read, to begin with, just a few verses of Scripture found in the first chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. If you want to read with me, it'll be a short reading. Turn to Matthew chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses beginning with verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And I want to use a text verse found in the Gospel of John, in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John, in verse 13. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I want to speak today about no greater love. No greater love. Now, if anybody has any question in your mind as to what is the greatest manifestation of love, Jesus said, Jesus Christ the Lord himself said, that a man can't have any greater love than to lay down his life for his friends. So again, with that being, those verses being read, I want to speak today about no greater love. And I want to say that truly, if it wasn't for the love of God, there would be no plan of salvation. Because the Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Not just that he pitied the world, but that he loved the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. So love was the motivating factor behind God's plan of salvation. And if it wasn't for God's love, there wouldn't be one. Nobody would be saved if it were not for God's love towards us. How many have ever heard about the young man years ago in Virginia? You may have heard this story. I just came back this week from Virginia, and my wife and I had been gone this week, and we've been there in the Fredericksburg area, and we went on the annual history tour again, and we one of the churches that we visited there in during the history tour was Crooked Run, and that's an old church that we go to every year. This year I was invited to preach there and really enjoyed preaching there in that old building. But How many have ever heard of a man by the name of Albert Willis that lived in the 1800s, actually during the years of the Civil War? Albert Willis. Well, I don't see any hands going up, and that doesn't surprise me, because you won't read about him a whole lot. But I want to tell you the account of this young man by the name of Albert Willis. Now, I know that probably many of you have heard of an elite group of soldiers, of Confederate soldiers, during the days of the Civil War, known as Mosby's Rangers. And they were a group that they were formed under John Mosby. He was their leader, and he was known as the Gray Ghost. And I believe that the Mosby's Rangers become known as the Gray Ghost because what they could do, they were not a huge company, but what they were notorious for was very quick attacks up on the Union Army. And what they could do, and what they did do a lot of times, is they would come in and they would attack from the rear, and they would ruin their supplies. They would attack their supply wagons or their supply post and wound them in that way. And they were also very elusive. They could go in and they could make these quick strikes, and then they could disappear among the common people. And they were driving the Union soldiers and the Union Army crazy. I mean, they just, they were disrupting them. They were, I guess, a lot the way that Elisha was doing to the Syrians. You know, he was just driving, when Syria was at war with Israel, Elisha, with his ability to expose the king of Syria's war plans, he was just driving the king of Syria crazy. And that's what was happening with the Mosby's Rangers. Well, I mean, it was so bad that the Union Army had decreed that if they ever caught any of them together, whether it was a big group of them or if it was just two or three of them, that one of them would be hanged on the spot to send a message to their enemy that they were tired of this and they were not going to tolerate it anymore. And so there was a young man named Albert Willis. He was a single man, and he was a member of that church there in Crooked Run in the middle 1800s. And he was one of Mosby's Rangers. And there was a day that him and another young man who was also a part of that group, the way I understand it, and I may get a few of the details off, but that's okay. I'll make the point that I want to make. But there was a day in 1864 when these two young men, Albert Willis being one of them, they were, because they were having to have one of the horses shod, and the sound, you know, of the tools and everything that was being used, they didn't realize that the Union soldiers had come in to the town there. And they caught them, they discovered them, and they asked them if they were part of the Mosby's Rangers, and they confessed to the Union soldiers that they were. And they told them, one of you is going to hang. You know, that has been decreed throughout the Union Army, and one of you is going to be hanged. And I don't know exactly how they did it, if they did it by vote or if they cast lots, but anyway, and I don't know the other man's name, but it was determined that they were going to hang him. And he began to make a plea. He began to ask for mercy. And he told those soldiers, he said, you know, I'm a married man and I have children, and I'm not a Christian, and I'm really not ready to die. And he was pleading his case before them and pleading for their mercy, but they were going to hang him. And so this young man, who was a member of that church, he stepped forward and he said, well, I am a Christian and I'm not afraid to die. And I want you to hang me instead of this other man. Well, they consented to it. And they took a tree. Well, let me say this. Before they hanged him, he asked them to give him a few moments to pray, to pray to his God. And they did. And history records that he prayed a beautiful prayer before them. And then he said, I'm ready. And they took a young tree, and they several of those soldiers bent this tree over. They tied the rope to it, and they put the noose around his neck and let the tree go, and it just yanked him off the ground, and he was dead. Gave his life so that that other man that wasn't ready could live. And, you know, I've thought about that oftentimes. I've thought, well, surely that was a hard thing to do. But, you know, you've got to, I believe we all have to ask ourselves the question, if we were in that situation and there was another person there with us that was just readily and openly admitting, I'm not saved and I'm not ready to die, and you know, we knowing that we are ready to die, I believe I could understand how that must have affected this young man and motivated him to do what he did. But nevertheless, he gave up his life so that this other man could continue to live. And, you know, according to what Jesus said here, Albert Willis could not have loved that man any more than what he did, because he made the ultimate sacrifice in order for him to be able to live. You can go over there right now. It's only, I believe, about 25 miles away from where Crooked Run Church is located, and you can go and visit his grave. And actually, if you want to read about Albert Willis, you can get on your computer and you can Google Mosby's Rangers, and you can actually read about what I just told you about. But nevertheless, he died in the place of his friend. Now, there have been many people throughout the years of time that have done that. You know, we today, I might continue a little bit with what I spoke about last week, but we today, we have certain freedoms in our country because there were people that loved this nation enough to lay down their life in the fight for freedom. You know, they love, you know, you can love a person enough to do that. You can love a cause enough to do that. And they loved, there have been people that have served throughout the years in the armed forces of the United States of America that have loved their country and loved freedom and loved their fellow man enough that they went and they gave up their life in order for us to enjoy the freedom that we have, and we owe them a great deal of gratitude, don't we? Now, I don't know. I never read any further. I don't know what this man, you know, I don't know what he did, but I can suppose that it would be natural to think that after the smoke had cleared, that he would have stopped by Albert Willis's grave and visited his grave and there, you know, gave thanks for his willingness to die so that he could continue to live. No doubt in days past or after that had happened, in days to come, no doubt there were times that he was with his wife and he was with his children and he found himself in safety and his mind thought about what that young man Albert Willis did for him that day. I mean, how could you forget such a thing as that? How could you forget that time out there when they were just about to stretch your neck and hang you, and there was somebody that said, I'll take his place, you hang me instead, and to stand there and watch that man hanged instead of you? I mean, how could that have ever left his mind the rest of his days? No doubt he thought about that until the end of his life. After it happened, those soldiers that had hanged this young man, hearing the prayer that he prayed and the courage with which he, faced death, they went away from there and gathered together in one place together and just wept over what they had done. Had a great effect upon them. And, I don't know, maybe, hopefully, some of them sought the Lord and got saved. Hopefully it affected them to the point that they did that. I don't know. But I know that certainly how, that would affect me. I would be thinking about that, for the rest of my days, of what that person had done for me. And, if he did go there and if he did visit the grave of Albert Willis, and stood there, although he had a lot to be thankful for, although he owed to that young man a lot of gratitude, the only thing that he could do would be to give him thanks for taking his place that day and sparing his natural life. That would be the extent to which he could be grateful. For those that, and some here, perhaps have known some and been personally acquainted with them in this life. But for those soldiers, those who served this country in the military and laid down their life, so that we can enjoy the freedoms today, what a great thing they did and what great benefits that we receive from that. But the extent of our thankfulness towards them can only be that we have the freedoms we have in this nation because of what they did. I want to talk to you today about one that gave his life for everybody. And the benefits of his sacrifice go well beyond just being able to be thankful for natural freedom or our natural life being spared. Jesus came, and the Bible teaches us that he died for every man. Now, these people that we read about and that I have shared with you today, this man that died in 1864, by the name of Albert Willis, that gave his life there that day, that benefited that one man. It didn't have anything at all to do with any of us. We weren't even alive yet. That was beneficial to that one man there that day when he was willing to die in his stead. But Jesus gave his life a ransom for all people. He shed his blood and made a sacrifice for everybody. And it wasn't just so that we could have a natural freedom. It wasn't just that our natural lives could be spared and we could live a little bit longer in this world and spend a little bit more time with family and friends before that we depart this life, but he gave his life a ransom for us that we could escape the damnations of hell for all of eternity and live in heaven with God when this life is over. The Bible tells us here in the first chapter of Matthew where I read that it said in the 21st verse, "She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? From their sins." Now sin is a killer. Sin has an awful effect upon people. Because of sin, we are not only going to face natural death in this life, But because of sin, the soul becomes separated from God. And listen, lost friend, if you are already in that condition, if you realize that today that you are lost, I want you to know that you are separated from God. You're separated from Him. The Bible says in the Roman letter, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You know, that's one of the problems that I have with the Calvinistic views. You know, they say that, certain people have been, predestinated and foreordained and elected to be saved. And those are the ones that are going to be saved. And they already have a connection with Christ. They're just waiting until that time that the Lord saves them. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. You don't belong to Him spiritually at all. If you have not been saved by grace, you are separated from God. Well, Jesus died so that that could be remedied. Now, listen. Those who have stepped up at different times and have given their life for somebody else. Now, we all know that that day that that happened in 1864 on the hills of Virginia, the day that that happened when that young man named Albert Willis voluntarily gave up his life so that the other man can live, you know, if somebody else would have been standing there and would have been willing to do that, they could have done the same thing. You know, anybody that would have been willing to have given their life could have stepped up to the plate and said, okay, I will give my life if you will let this man go. Anybody that would have been willing could have done that. But I'm telling you that there was only one that could save us from our sins. Nobody else. There was nobody else that could make the sacrifice that would be suitable enough. There was nobody else that could make the sacrifice that would please God to the point that He would forgive our sins except for the Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 4 verse 12 tells us there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And so to you that are lost today, your only hope of escaping the eternal damnations of hell when this life is over and being at peace with God in heaven forever and ever, your only hope of that is through the sacrifice that was made by the Lord Jesus Christ when He gave His life a ransom for the sins of this whole world. All of us that are here today, people that have been saved from different situations in a natural way of speaking. There have been people throughout the years of time that could testify. This man there in Virginia, he could have testified that a young man named Albert Willis took his place. There are people that could testify that throughout time that their mother or their father died so that they could live. There's been people that have given their lives for other people in a lot of ways, but all of us today that are saved by God's grace, we all can say that it was Jesus. It was Jesus who freed us from the bondage of sin, who broke that yoke. And I'll tell you what, if you pray, if you seek after God for the salvation of your soul through any other name other than through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll seek until you die and leave this world, and you'll split hell wide open because you'll never find salvation in any other one than in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I don't know. I've said this before, those of you who are seeking the Lord, those of you who are bowing here at the altar or bowing back at your seat, praying, and haven't been saved yet, you know, the only thing I know to tell you is that you just haven't turned it over to Jesus yet. You haven't. Because the moment, the very moment that you place all of your trust in Him, He's going to save you. He's going to save you just like He saved me, just like He saved others. The moment that you place all your trust in the Lord. He's not going to hold back. He's not going to hold back. He's going to give you the gift of eternal life. The Bible tells us that though He was rich, and Jesus was rich, I'm telling you, He was the richest of the rich. He was in heaven with God, enjoying all of the beauties and the splendor and the vast richness of heaven. He was rich. But the Bible says that for your sakes He became poor, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. He laid it all aside. I'm telling you, Jesus stripped Himself of everything. He laid it all aside when the Bible said He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It means that He emptied Himself. He had to, in order to condescend to the point where He could come and die for the sins of man. He gave everything up and came here into this world and emptied Himself and died on the cross for our sins. And if you want His salvation, you're going to have to give everything up to Him if you want to be saved. You know, I'm very glad every time that I hear the story of Albert Willis and what he did, it moves me. It does. Every time I hear it repeated, it moves me in my heart. And it makes me think, you know, I hope that I would be able to do the same thing. You know, if I needed to do that, to spare the life of somebody that wasn't ready to go, I hope I would be able to do the same thing. I hope that all of us as Christians would be able to do the same thing. But you know what? Even with everything that that young man did for him that day, even if he did go visit his grave afterwards, even if he couldn't forget about the rest of his life, he couldn't go to Him for salvation. His death that day didn't purchase that. Only the Lord was able to make that sacrifice. And so, you know, I'm thankful. I really am. I'm thankful for every one that ever died, for us to enjoy the freedom that we have today. I'm thankful for the hard fight and the blood that was shed by our Baptist forefathers in their fight for religious liberty in this country. I'm thankful for that. But far above any of that, I'm thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did, because He freed me from my sins. Jesus said in the 10th chapter of John, not only that He gives life here, and I'll tell you what, so many people have that scripture confused about what it means. You know, there's people today that what Jesus said there in the 10th chapter of John, there's people today that say that's talking about Jesus wanting you to have money and all the things of this world. That's not what He died for. That's not what life abundantly is talking about. It's talking about life beyond this life. It's talking about eternal life. Jesus said, I come and give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Jesus said, I give them life more abundantly. Eternal life. That's what you can have in the Lord Jesus, eternal life. I want to urge you today, you that are lost, come seeking Jesus for eternal life, because he's the only one that can give you that. We can make that loving sacrifice for each other and maybe help to extend each other's natural life for a while, just like Albert Willis did for his friend. But nobody but the Lord Jesus can give eternal life. He died to save people from their sins. From their sins. Let's have a song. Let's sing. If you're here today and you're lost, we urge you to come to Jesus. Now listen, let me make this perfectly clear again. If you want to come and pray at the mourner's bench, that's fine. You come. But I'm telling you, you've got to come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. If it's up here or at your seat or wherever that it's at, you'll get saved when you come to Jesus with all your heart. So let's sing, and I urge you, if you're lost, to seek the Lord. Christian people, follow the Lord today in what he'd have you to do.
Number 2.